Amen. Well, we started this series last week, Grace Under Fire, and we've talked about, last week we kind of asked the question, how many of you have experienced God's grace in your life? And most of you said, yes, right? I have been able to experience that. And we talked about how you can probably think of times in your life where you've recognized God's grace. You thought, oh, you know, that time especially, I just felt like the grace of God was so good to me and was so near, and it was easy to recognize the goodness of God. There's probably lots of times that are easy to recognize, but you can probably think of a time or two that it was difficult to recognize God's grace and goodness in your life, right? Because things might not be going your way, and sometimes we go through times of grief and sorrow and pain and loss and anything else that might get us down, and those are the times where it's hard to recognize how much grace has been poured out. And so when things are painful, it's tough to feel God's goodness and his nearness and his closeness in our lives. And all of us either have or will encounter times like these in our lives. You've probably already encountered times like these in your life, grief, loss, sorrow. And if not, unfortunately, this is a broken world and you will, right? But God has poured out his grace through his son Jesus on the cross that has given us not only an opportunity to experience eternal life, but an opportunity to live for him now here on this earth. So today we're going to use this series as a reminder that God's grace is for us, right? God's grace is for us. So last week we talked about God's grace being with us. This week God's grace is for us. Romans 8:28 says this, and we all know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Last week, we talked about God's grace being with us. And we talked about three points, right? Three ways that God's grace is with us. God's grace is with us even when we have questions. Remember that one? We talked about having a problem of living in the what if, right? We live in the what if. Well, what if it's scary, or what if it's painful, or what if it's going to cause me financial trouble? We live in this what if so much we let the what if dictate our lives. But through faith, we operate in the grace of God that will overcome our iniquities, right? What if I'm not good enough? What if I'm not smart enough or strong enough or whatever it might be? God, when we operate through faith, then we live in that grace that just covers all the things that we can't do or measure up to. Number two was that God's grace is with us even when we don't believe. God gave two miracles through Moses. We talked about Moses being, he threw a stick down, it turned into a snake, and then he turned some water into blood. It was really cool. You'd love to have been there and seen that stuff. But God gave two miracles to reveal himself to the Israelites through Moses, and he ended up giving a third even if that one didn't work. And that one was kind of weird. He put his hand in and got leprosy for a second. You guys were really quiet this morning. You okay? We good? All right. Freaking me out a little bit. God revealed himself to the Israelites through Moses. And another really cool part about God's grace is that he is revealing himself to us in unlimited ways. There's literally no way that God can't use to show you who he is in your life. So even when you don't believe, right, God is revealing himself in ways that only he can. And the third thing we talked about last week is that God's grace is with us, even when we don't know what to say. We've been at a loss for words. I shared a story about being lost for words. So we've all been in those situations where we just don't know what to say. And the cool thing about God's grace is that he will provide the words for you to say. He's done it for Moses, he's done it for Peter and the apostles in Acts, and he does it for us today. So if you weren't here last week or you were just sleeping through it, now you're caught up in what happened last week. So this week, we're going to talk about Joseph. And now we can go to that Joseph slide. So Joseph is this guy who was one of 12 sons of Jacob, right? And they ended up being like the 12 tribes of Israel in the book of Genesis. So Joseph's brothers, they get angry at him for some things he said, and his father kind of shows some favoritism. He gives him this fancy coat you see in the pictures. And essentially what they do is they put him in a hole, right? They don't want to kill him, but they put him in a hole, and then whatever happens to him, well, in the midst of that, some Egyptian traders come along, and his brothers decide to sell him into slavery in Egypt. Really terrible thing to do. But upon doing so, Joseph ends up in Egypt, and he eventually is sold to Potiphar, who is the captain of the palace guard. And that's close, right? That is a close position to the king of Egypt, who was Pharaoh. So Joseph's in a foreign land. He's with foreign people. But we see something in Genesis 39 that will affect the rest of his story. And so this is verses 1 through 4. It says, "Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of the Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from some Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned." So just like last week, right, God's grace is with us. It was with Joseph in this deepest, darkest place that he could have been. We see God's grace go to a place of captivity for Joseph and work so he can prosper in that environment. How many of you have been sold into Egyptian slavery before? Right, just Austin. That's what I thought. When we think of like things that are really bad that could happen to us, you know, things that have gone terribly in our lives, and we see example after example after example in Scripture of real people that have been through these really terrible things, and God's grace is still there working, so that not that God caused, you know, Joseph to go to be sold into slavery. That was a part of his brothers living in sin in this broken world that we live in. But God said, you know, I'm going to go ahead and use this for the good, right? Romans 8:28, God works all things for the good of those who are called to his purpose. So Joseph eventually moves up the ranks in Egypt and was put in charge over the storehouses of grain. And his family comes to Egypt for food during a famine. They don't know what's happened to Joseph. They just know that he was sold, right? They haven't seen him in a while. And so they come to Egypt for food during a famine, and they find Joseph there in charge of the food that is being passed out to people during this famine. So he is reunited with his father Jacob, who lived in Egypt for 17 years before he died. So Jacob moved to Egypt with his sons in a famine when he was 130 and died when he was 147. So he got to reconcile or be reunited with his son Joseph in Egypt before he died. And so Joseph's brothers come to offer an apology after Jacob has died, and that's where we're going to pick up in Genesis 50. I hope I filled in those like 11 or 12 chapters okay. I hope you're all following here. So Joseph's brothers come to offer an apology, and that's what we find here in verses 14 through 20. So this is Genesis 50, starting at verse 14. "After burying his father, Joseph returned to Egypt together with his brothers and all others who had gone with him to bury his father. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, 'What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?' So they sent word to Joseph saying, 'Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father.' When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. 'We are your slaves,' they said. But Joseph said to them, 'Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives.'" So we're going to look at this morning three times God's grace is for us. Last time, God's grace is with us. This week, God's grace is for us. Three times that God's grace is for us. The first one, number one, is when we show forgiveness. God's grace is for us when we show forgiveness. There is a clear fear from Joseph's brothers now that their father isn't there. Did you guys get that? Did you feel that in the scriptures? They're like, okay, dad's not here anymore. Who's going to protect us from this stuff we did? Have you ever had that kind of moment with your siblings? Just wait. You just wait till mom and dad aren't around. Right? You'll see what's coming. Just you wait. You ever been there? Or maybe you've been on the receiving end of that. Maybe you were the little brother that wouldn't stop picking, and then once mom and dad were gone. There's a commercial, we live stream our services, so you can't really play any videos. It gets shut down almost immediately for copyright reasons, but there's a commercial of Peyton and Eli Manning back in the day, and they're walking down the hall. I think it was an ESPN commercial, and Archie Manning, their father, is out in front of them, and the whole time they're just kicking each other right in the rear end, and then when Archie would turn around, they'd just kind of act cool. Dad wasn't watching, right? They could fight and they could do what they really wanted to do to each other when dad wasn't watching. And so I think, in a much more intensified way, I think this is that sibling stuff that's happening. Dad's not here to protect us anymore. What is Joseph going to do to us? But in verse 9, we saw Joseph said, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God, or who am I to judge you for what you did? God is the one that you ultimately have to answer to." And so Billy Graham said it this way. He said, "It's the Father's job to judge, the Spirit's job to convict, and my job to love." And I think this might be one of those scriptures he was researching when he said that in a sermon. It's the Father's job to judge, it's the Spirit's job to convict, and it's my job to love. What would happen if the church actually took that attitude? What would happen if us as a church took the attitude of, it's just my job to love. Let's let the judgment and the conviction to God. Let's just love people and show them this grace that's been poured out for us. And I think we see the answer in verse 20. It says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Joseph has this attitude of, terrible things. You guys did terrible, terrible things to me. But God, if you didn't and I wasn't in this position, how many lives would have been lost due to famine? He had responsibly stored all this grain and was saving all these lives in the midst of this famine. Joseph had every reason to judge and to convict and to be angry and to get even, right? I mean, I would, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you just be waiting until somebody wasn't looking? Fight all 11 of them brothers all at the same time, right? You'd be that mad. Joseph had every reason to judge, convict, and to be angry, but he didn't. Sometimes we judge and convict and get angry at things that don't even affect us, right? Hey, me too. I'm not free from this. We can get judgmental and mad and angry just by sitting on the couch doing this, right? What for? That's not our job. Our job's not to judge people or convict people. When we take a position of forgiveness, God's grace is allowed to work in our lives, right? Because the reality is, grace is forgiveness from Jesus to us. And for us to hoard that or not pour it out to others, that would not be using God's grace properly or allowing it to fully work in our lives. The second thing the second time when God's grace is for us is when we invite people in. God's grace is for us when we invite people in. Joseph's brothers approached him asking to be his slaves. Did you catch that in the scriptures? They threw themselves down and says, "We are your slaves." They're just being as humble as possible so that he doesn't have them put to death. And Joseph doesn't even acknowledge the slaves' part. He says, "Who am I to say that?" Right? And he invites them back in as family. Have you ever been invited in even though you didn't deserve it? Have you ever been somewhere where you're like, "I really don't deserve to be here"? It's kind of a cool feeling, right? It's like you're getting this information you're not supposed to have, or you're getting a look behind the curtain that see how things work. I was I felt this way very early on in my ministry. In being lead pastor here, when we had just installed in November, and then COVID broke in, I think, March here at least. We had to shut down, and then as soon as we opened back up, Andrew Twible had passed away. You guys remember that? It's been a few years now. And he was such an influential figure in the Church of the Nazarene that we had that service here, and it felt like this district assembly service. And of course, here I am, you know, looking like I look, not necessarily super official or anything. I mean, I had a jacket and tie on, but I got invited into this circle by, of course, Pastor Phil, and I was the host pastor now. And in that circle was a guy named Paul Johnson, who was pastoring a very large church in Illinois, Dr. John Bowling, who was the president of Olivet Nazarene University, and then a guy named Woody Webb, who was like second in command at Olivet, and then Phil, someone who had, you know, built this place and pastored for 41 years, and then I'm the literal fifth wheel in that circle. And I felt like such a child, right? I mean, you just feel like you don't belong. Like, why in the world am I even invited in on this? And then so Phil really played it up, and he's like, I think it's customary for the host pastor to pray, you know, for us and at this time. And I'm like, okay, buddy. And so I faked it till I made it, but it was being invited in on things is special, right? Especially when you don't expect it or feel like you don't deserve it. And the reality is that's what God has done for all of us. We don't deserve to be invited in to these places, but he does. He invites us in, and not just as slaves or servants, but as family. And that's what we are called to do to others. So we have to have this holistic view, right? This holistic view, meaning everything is one, the body of Christ is one thing. We look at the church as a whole that works together. We have to have this holistic view of the family of God in order to express grace to others. In other words, everyone belongs, right? Everyone's allowed at the table. It's not that everyone has to be a pastor and doing ministry, but God is equally loving everyone, and everyone is involved in this body that we're a part of. So even the worst of people, you can think of them, right? Don't say them, just think the worst of people, right? They are still an image bearer of God and are a part of the picture of the family of God. They're a part of the holistic look of what God created and what he intends for it. So inviting people to a grace-filled relationship with Jesus is a part of our spiritual growth as well. Number three, God's grace is for us when we are sent out or called to do something. So, have you ever been in an airplane before? Okay, good. Me too. It's pretty crazy, right? You look out the window. I love the window seat. That's the only way I can fly. I can't watch movies when I fly. I get motion sick, and that's, you know, nobody wants to be that guy on the plane that's using the little bag, you know. So I always try and get a window seat, and I look out the window. I think I have a picture. If you've never been in an airplane, flying over us would literally look something quite like this, right? It's just where we live, it's grids of fields, right, with houses intermingled, and then there's a town every now and then. And so if you fly over us, this could be one of like 15 states, by the way. It's not here, but when you fly over states like this, this is what it looks like, and it gives you this thought of this, how you see things. You're like, when you're driving, it's like, oh, this is never ever going to end, right? This is taking forever. It's so boring. But when you're flying over it, you can see the whole picture. It's like, oh man, I can see where I've been and where I came from and where I'm going, right? And that's really, and I don't mean this literally like God's this being that's just staring down at us, but God can see the entire plan, the entire picture. Like, this is that 30,000 foot view. You know, when God is sending us and calling us to things, he sees what's happening and what's going on out in front of us. And his grace is going there and working on it. So what if God has been using the brokenness of this world to prepare you? What if you're in one of those times right now? You're in one of those moments of grief or loss or sorrow or pain. Not that God caused it to happen to you, but he says, I'm going to use this, right? This isn't going to be for nothing. This isn't just so you're living in pain forever, or that you're, you've lost someone and you'll never ever get over it. I mean, God is with you in that pain and that sorrow and loss, but what if he's going to use that brokenness to allow you to help others who might be going through that pain someday, or whatever the case may be? God is laying something out. He has a plan for what you're going through. So, what if the current season you're in is preparation? Right? What if God's preparing you to do something great? What if he's preparing you to send you out? And hopefully not literally, because I don't want to lose any of you, but I'm also not God, right? And that's not my choice. But what if God's preparing you to do something great, to do something that is going to advance the kingdom in a very big way? And this is that season that he's doing it. It's easy to look back, right, and see where God was working, right? It's very easy. I can look back in my life and see, oh, here's where God was working. Here's where God did something. Oh, I see what that was all about. It's really easy to look back and see. Agreed? Okay. Oh, man, so serious, guys. It's easy to look back and see where God was working. So if we truly are going to live in faith, right, we have to live in the faith that he's working to where he's going to send us as well, right? When we look back and say, okay, God's been faithful, God's been faithful, God's been faithful, we can flip that switch in our minds and say, God's still faithful, God will be faithful, God is going to be faithful. There's something ahead of this that is going to be great. So the grace of God is for us when we show forgiveness, when we invite people in, and when we're sent out. I've not had a response time at all yet for this series, and I know that. And so if God's been stirring in your heart, next week we'll have an opportunity to just store this. We'll do a little bit of a recap, but we're going to move into baptism. I'll pray before we do that, but I guess you can take this if you're cue. If you're still in this room and going to be baptized, this is your cue to take your position. But last week we had our annual meeting right after the message. This week we're doing baptism. Next week I don't have anything on the plan, so I do want to give you an opportunity to respond. And if God's been stirring in your heart this week, just keep that alive. Keep fanning that flame this week. And if you talk to me, message me, whatever it is you want to do. But we will have an opportunity to respond. But today we're going to move into baptism and celebrate this grace that has been working in the lives of these 8 individuals. So would you pray with me this morning? God, we thank you for who you are, for the grace that you've poured out, for stories like the one of Joseph. God, we don't know why bad things happen. We know that you are love and you are good. We know that you're not the source of these bad things. But God, we are so thankful that you've made a way to get us through that. We're so thankful that you've given us an out, given us a way to have eternal life and to live for you in the meantime. God, help us to just really lean into that grace this morning. If you're moving in someone's heart this morning, just continue to do that this week. God, we don't deserve it. We deserve the bad stuff that's going to happen to us, but you cared enough to send Jesus to die for our sins. And we'll be ever thankful for that. God, as we move into baptism this morning, be present in this room. We thank you for 8 individuals who are willing to say, yes, I have experienced the life-changing grace of Jesus. I am going to die to self and be raised with him. So God, help us this morning as we continue to worship you through this